Won't you look in your Bibles to the book of Luke this morning, the book of Luke chapter 22, and I'll begin reading in verse number 31 and try to preach what the Lord's laid upon our heart for this hour. And I'm glad again, the Lord knows what we need, amen, and He's got all the supply. He'll never run out. His grace is still sufficient. You see, preacher, been saying a long time, well, got good news. Grace is still sufficient, amen, and it'll never run out. And we give Him honor and give Him glory for that today. Luke chapter 22, you will and able stand this morning. I'll begin reading in verse number 31. Luke chapter 22 and beginning in verse number 31. The Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for the Spirit of God that we feel in our heart. Thank you for these people that have assembled together in your house today. Oh, Father, I pray now for just a few minutes you'd give me the very words that I need to say. I pray you touch us by your Spirit. I pray give everyone hearing ears and receptive hearts. Save that soul that's lost here today. Help your people. Lord, I know there's some here today. They're walking in some dark places in their life. But I'm glad you're still the light of the world. You still light the pathway of your people. Lord, there's some here at a crossroads of decision making. I'm glad if they'll look to you, you'll guide them in the way you want them to go. Help us, I pray, in all we do to exalt the lovely name of Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Man, you can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 31 and 32 for just a few minutes this morning, where the Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And to preach this morning, the Lord helping me on this subject of Satan's desire and the saints' defense. Satan's desire and the saints' defense. We find in the verses that we have read this morning, this is at the closing part of the upper room experience that the disciples had with Jesus on the night that he is betrayed and given into the hands of sinners to be crucified. We know that is the setting, and as he's there, he tells Peter, what's going to take place in that very night? He said, you're going to deny me. Do you understand? I want you to look and listen to me. Everything you do, everything that I do, it has never caught God by surprise. He knows the beginning to the end and all in between. He is a sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent God today. He's never changed and he never will change. Oh, friend, today, he said, Peter, you'll deny me. He said that there's good news as he let him know, hey, Satan's after you. But I know this, you're going to do better down the road. Oh, friend, listen to me. I began thinking on these verses on Thursday and began meditating and studying for several days now and began thinking about Satan's desire and the saints' defense. I want to say this as a way of introduction. Satan is not a myth. Do you hear me? He's not a myth. Satan is not just an idea, but Satan is a created being. He is real today. As Satan is the adversary of the creation of God, Satan is one that is on the attack and on the offensive all the time. He is always working and conniving how to defeat you and how to defeat me. Oh, friend, I'll tell you that there's one greater than him that lives in my heart and greater that lives in you. Hey, friend, I'm glad. Hey, listen to me. I don't go around picking fights with the devil, but if he shows up, I don't have to be afraid either. I found my elder brother, Jesus Christ, stands a friend to defend me and to help me, and he will you as well. Oh, friend, this morning we see some things, and I'll be done. First of all, in verse 31, and look at Satan's desire just a minute. We find that the Bible said, Simon, Simon, behold, take notice, Simon, listen to me, Simon. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan desired. That word desired in this text means to demand for a trial, to bring him up, to point things out in the life of Simon Peter. Can I remind you, Peter is the New Testament illustration of the Old Testament man Job. For Job saw that he loved God and looked at God, but Satan saw Job serving God, and Satan put his crosshairs on Job and began to desire to have a hold of Job's life, thinking Job would turn his back on God and never serve God again. Well, Peter is, friend, the man that God's called from a fishing boat. That one day he'll preach a great sermon and 3,000 people will get saved at once. Now, I'll say this. I don't think Satan knew about that message, but he did know the potential that Simon Peter had, and therefore he was gunning for Simon Peter. We see there Satan's desire. First, we see who Satan desired. It is Peter. Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have you. Hey, Peter, Satan wants to get a hold of you. Satan has got his crosshairs on you. I want to say this to you, everybody in this building that's saved, he's got the crosshairs on you. Some people think it's just preachers that the devil's gunning for. It's not just preachers. It's not just deacons. It's not just Sunday school teacher. But everybody that names the name of Christ, Satan has got his crosshairs on you. He desires to get a hold of you. Oh, I say it a lot and I know it, but I can't emphasize it enough. There are some that, listen, you may think nobody is interested in your Christian life. You may think your Christian life doesn't matter, but I'm telling you, somebody in this church house, somebody that lives nearby you, somebody you go to school with, somebody you work with is looking at your life and you're the greatest Christian that they know. And I want to tell you something, Satan knows that too. There's never been anybody fail that failed by themselves. Amen. Our lives affect that. Therefore, Satan desires to have you. Hey, can I say this? I can't, when I get up to preach, I'm all business, my mind's on preaching. So sometimes I miss if somebody's not here. But I want to tell you something, after weeks come by, I can tell if you're not in your place, because most of us sat in the same place. And that's not a bad thing, I just won't say that. But I'll say this, when you're not there, it affects the pulpit. It can. Hey, I'll tell you this. If you're there and your countenance has changed, that affects things around you. Hey, don't think that nobody doesn't notice. They do notice. Amen. But Satan is gunning for you. He is after you today. Hey, mama, he's after you. Hey, daddy, he's after you. Hey, husband, he's after you. Hey, wife, he's after you. Satan has got you in his crosshairs this morning. We see who he's desiring, but I want to say this as I think about it. Now, I'm preaching most faithful, but I'll say even to the sinner, he's after you. He'd love to wreck your life and get you so steeped in sin that you wouldn't even have an ear for the Holy Ghost to ever speak to you. Friend, I'm telling you, he'd love to keep you from getting saved, my friend. He'd love to see you drop into hell and burn forever. That's how Satan is. Oh, friend, now listen, I'm going to say it again. Satan is not, he does not know everything. You hear me? He doesn't know the future as far as a lot of things. He knows what the Bible says. You better understand that. He does know what the Bible says. All right? But he doesn't know everything. But he knows for every sinner, if you get saved, there is potential for you to reach somebody else with the gospel. That's why he fights you so bad. That's why, sinner, he gives you every excuse under the sun not to go to church, not to hear preaching. Why? He knows if you get saved, you become an enemy. You become one that can do great harm to his cause. Amen. Hey, friend, today I'm saying to us, Satan desires to have you. Jesus said this in John 10 and verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, and come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundant. Hey, Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy today. Hey, listen what he said, what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, he's a looking for you. He's a gunning for you. I promise you he is. We see who Satan desired. But notice what Satan desired in that verse. He said, Jesus said to Simon, Satan had desired to have you. Why? That he may sift you as wheat. Now, I'm mostly preaching safe right here. When wheat was sifted in the Bible days, they used this sieve to separate the grain from the chaff and other foreign elements that could be in the grain. And that sieve would reveal all the chaff, all the foreign bodies that is around that wheat. You know Satan's real good about sifting. He likes to bring up all the sin that you got into your life. He likes to bring up all the negative, all the bad things about you. He wants everybody to see that. Hey, Satan doesn't want anybody to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Satan wants your sin to be elevated, that it might hinder somebody. Hey, Satan, that's what Satan's after. That's why I'm going to say something right here. That's why I'm not going to talk about nobody's faults, because I'm not going to glorify nothing that's going on that's wrong in your life nor mine. Amen. There's enough of that exposure as it is. What we need to do is begin to say, listen, the grace of God, without the grace of God, it'd be us, we'd be worse. Amen. Oh, friend, Satan desired to sift Peter as wheat. Satan wants all the bad, all the sin to be seen and to dominate, that he might discredit you and discredit me. Amen. Hey, Satan is after us and wanting our friend to sift us as wheat. Hey, Peter went through a sifting. Now, I will say this. It was certain for Peter here. Jesus didn't say, now, if Satan would sift you. He didn't say that. He said, Satan had desired that he may have, that he may sift you as wheat. He's going to do it the first chance he gets. Amen. I promise you this, Satan will magnify and major on all the wrong things that are going on in your life to be sure that others will see them. Amen. Well, we see Satan's desire. But notice with me in verse 32, I'm not going to preach, I'm going to give you what's on my heart. But verse 32, we see the saints' defense. The Bible says, verse 32, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, we've got a defense system. Amen. Hey, I'm for big military. Amen. I'm not for small military. I'm for big military. You say, oh, y'all not be, I'm gonna tell you something. You don't, hey, the world ain't gonna just sit bad as well. We won't bother nobody. Ain't like that. Rest of this world's been raised from a kid how to kill. Say amen. We're living in a wicked day. And defense is good. I'll tell you, we got something greater than an atomic bomb. We got something greater than tanks and aircraft. We got something greater than ships. Hey, Jesus Christ said, hey, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Hey, he wanted Peter to know, listen, son, I'm not deserting you. I'm not going to let you down. I am your defense. Hey, if it wasn't for me, you would be defenseless. But I'm on your side, Peter. Amen. Hey, today, you may be in a sifting time. You may be in some struggles and some trials. But I'm going to tell you, you remember this, that Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm telling you, he ain't going nowhere. He's your defense. He's your high tower. He's your refuge. Hey, there ain't a better defense than Jesus Christ today. Oh, friend, we would be in a mess if it wasn't for Jesus. Oh, friend, he said, Peter, I want you to know I'm your defense. For you see two things about Jesus in that verse. I see the position of the Lord first. He said, but I have prayed. Hey, that lets me know, according to the book of 1 John, he's our advocate. We have somebody at the right hand of the Father this morning. Amen. Hey, I'm not picking fights, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not keeping myself, not saving myself. I'm not struggling to get to heaven. Hey, I've been born again, and I have one at the right hand of the Father. Hey, he is my advocate. Hey, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. That's the will of God. He don't want us to sin, but he doesn't stop with there in that verse. Thank God. I'm glad he don't stop right there. He said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hey, I got news for you. Every one of us sin. Even since we got saved. Hey, you need to take your halo off. Amen. Because it's your horns holding it up anyhow. Amen. You ain't ready to fly away on angels' wings. Amen. Hey, we still sin though we're saved. Amen. Oh, but I'm glad that when I sin, and I don't want to, and I think every child of God has a desire in their heart to live right and to do right. But when we do sin, we have an advocate, and his name's Jesus. Hey, I got news for you. That is a legal term. That's a lawyer's term. Hey, I want to tell you, he ain't never lost a case. Amen. Hey, listen to me. He also says this, Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse 25. Listen to this verse. The Bible said, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hey, listen. He said, Peter, I'm standing between you and the Father. Hey, he is that for you and I today. We have one who is at the right hand of the Father. Amen. I'm glad he's mighty close to the judge. Amen. He ain't got to go get a bunch of stuff together. I like that right there. He don't have to get a bunch of stuff. I like that again. You say, what's wrong with you? Understand something. My sin debt, all my sin, past, present, future, was all judged. Already been judged back at Calvary. Are you listening to me? Hey, I may stumble, I may fall. He said, listen, Father, that's all paid for. I took care of that. Hey, Hey, I took the punishment. I took it all. Hey, I'm glad. Thank God. We have an advocate. We have an intercessor at the right hand of the Father today. Oh, yes. Hey, friend, we see the position of the Lord. But I notice the prayer of the Lord too. He said, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You see, he prayed for Peter's faith. He said, I pray that your faith fail not, that you don't become a complete washout, that you don't become a complete apostate. He said, I pray that your faith fail not. And he said, Peter, I prayed for your future. That's right. Look what he said. He said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy breath. He said, Peter, I've done prayed for you that after this event takes place, that God will use you to strengthen those who are around you. Amen. Hey, understand something. I love John 17. You talk about a great chapter. Now, this is the Lord's Prayer. Did you hear me? John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Now, don't get it confused with the model prayer. They're not the same. Preacher, what's the model prayer? That our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is the model prayer. That ain't the Lord's Prayer. Hello. I know that may mess up your little bookmark. It does have to mess it up. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That is the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. And I want to kind of point this out. Calvinists like to twist John 17. But I was reading a while back, even got so excited, got to Tim and office, I want to tell you something. I was going through the book of John in my personal devotions, and I just got through reading John 17. And for the first time in my ministry, I realized John 17's cut in half. Verse 1 through verse 19, he's a praying for those 12 disciples. That's who he's a praying for. Those the ones that were chosen, those that were given to him. And he said, I've lost none but Judas. But when you go to verse 20 down through the remainder of the chapter, he said, Lord, I'm not just praying for those 12, but I'm praying for those that are going to believe because of them. Who's that, preacher? That's you? That's me? He said, I'm praying for those that are going to believe. Lord, I want to be one with us. I want to be where I'm going to be. Hey, he prayed for you. That's why I'm not worried about losing my salvation. He's got me. He's keeping me. He has prayed for me already. Are you hearing me this morning? Oh, friend, Satan is gunning. But I'm glad, hallelujah, that we have a defense. And that defense is in Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. Hey, friend, I don't know what all's happening in your life. But I do know this. The Holy Ghost touched me with these verses and said, that's what you're going to preach Sunday. And I know that. Oh, but tremendous truth. Powerful truth. Understand we're all going to have times that we fail, that we sin, but I'm glad failure is not final with the Lord. Amen. You see, when the resurrection happened, you see, he done told me, you're going to deny me 3 times. You're going to flee. All of them fled. You understand that? The only one that, hey, Peter came back at a distance and then denied the Lord. The only disciple that came back any closer was John. He stood at the cross and Jesus gave Mary to John. Said, you take care of mama. That's what he did there at the cross. Hey, but Peter, though he had denied the Lord, had done some awful things, had cussed and swore all that stuff. But after resurrection, he sent word, tell my disciples and Peter. He made sure that there was a distinct invitation for Peter to come to. He's letting Peter know, I've not forgot you. I've not cut you off. I'll not forsake you. You're still mine. Oh, friend, it's good to know Christ. Nothing like knowing Christ. No one better than Christ. Amen. Hey, Satan desire, but the saints' defense. Man, I'm glad for the defense we have. He's on our side because we're in him. Amen. And I praise him for it today. Father, I pray you take this message, use it to help some child of God. I've tried my best to preach what you gave me, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, help us to seal it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, help that struggling child of God today. May they leave out of here with great victory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just a moment. Tried my best to preach what the Lord told me to. I just touched a little bit to the lost. And Brother Tim sung those great songs and choir sung some great songs pointing folk to Christ. Maybe there is someone here today who would, by the lifting of the hand, say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I admit that." And I'd like for you to remember me in prayer, and you simply slip up your hand today by acknowledging, "Preacher, I know I need the Lord." Anybody? Amen. Somebody else, "Preacher, I'm lost. I admit it. I know I need to be saved." Somebody else will slip up hand, "Preacher, that's me. I'm lost. I'm lost." Is there a Christian here that would say, "Preacher, I've failed, I've messed up, I've stumbled, Satan has indeed sifted me. There's all kinds of stuff that's not right, and I know it in my life. But preacher, pray for me. I sure want to get it right, want to get it out of the way. I want to serve the Lord like I know I ought to and want to." And you lift up your hand today, "Preacher, that's me. I see that hand, and that hand. Preacher, there's some things in my life I know I ought not be there. I'm saved, but preacher, there's some things that ought not be there, and it's there. Pray for me." Amen. I want us to stand at all that's able to stand. Brother Tim's going to lead us in an invitational hymn. This altar. If you're not saved, love for you to come to the altar. I'd take this Bible, show you how to be born again. Be the greatest day of your life. You'll never regret being saved. Child of God, you got cold and indifferent back, said, "Come, get things right." Leave out of here in fellowship today while we sing.